The recording.
Do we care? Who cares?
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
All right. Coming up on TMS, Big Crash, Man Yells.
I, A to B.
Trank versus Studio.
Columbia House is done.
Finally. My Little Pony movie is happening.
Was that just a year ago?
Recommentals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Presenting Ronald McDonald in Rhymin' with Fries.
Here comes Ronald with a special surprise.
Here he comes.
A whole basket of delicious McDonald's French fries.
Oh, we missed.
Every once in a while, somebody tries a new trick for grabbing those wonderful fries. But Ronald's not fooled. It's those wacky fry guys.
It's a good time.
How'd you know it was us, Ronald?
Because you're the only guys who rhyme with fries.
All the great taste of McDonald's.
You can see just by looking how moist and delicious it is.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Man, give me $50.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS for short. It is Wednesday, August 12th, 2015. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Scott. Look at that. We're almost to the middle of August.
Oh, my Lord. Crazy? It's insane.
Didn't realize it until you said that. I'm like, oh my God, already the 12th?
I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. I saw you at the end of July. That yes. feels like yesterday.
It does, yes.
I mean, I know it was a week and a half ago. Time keeps on ticking.
It does.
Into the future, even. Right, exactly. I don't like it. I don't like it, sir. No, I don't. Here we are, though. We're doing a show. We got stuff today. Jury should be joining us for news. I haven't checked in with him, but I'm pretty sure that's still the deal.
Okay.
So that'll be fun. Later, Nicole, Tom, you know, the whole Wednesday.
Everybody. Yeah. The whole Wednesday business.
The Wednesday banana, I like to call it.
Sure.
So
you've never called it that ever.
I have a funny pair of things to tell you about.
All right.
At least I think, well, they're weird and funny. And it's been a while for me, probably since pre-Nerdtacular. I haven't had any kind of weird neighbor or out walking the dog or Mendoza
drive-through or right.
None of this stuff. It's all been fine lately, and that makes me worry. Like the actual things when they happen. Here's what I had a theory.
When's the other shoe gonna drop?
Exactly. And this other, and I had this theory after you and I saw each other that I transferred mm-hmm. my weird people magnet powers to you when we hugged or something mm-hmm. at Nerdtacular, and then you took it to Vegas with you because then you got Barfin Lady. That
right.
poorly run con.
Right. Chastising police officer.
Mm-hmm. All those things happened to you, yet nothing was happening to me. And so I was sure I had transferred it on the weekend of Nerdtacular.
Sure.
But turns out not so much, or at the very least, whatever I had grew back. Okay, so if I gave it to you, mine grew back. Because two things happened. One actually happened the day before yesterday, and I was going to tell about it yesterday, but we got so deep into other discussions, I forgot to even tell it. So I'm going to tell it to you now. Across the street from me, they're building townhomes, okay? This turns out to be kind of a pain. Some days they cut off your internet because they're running wires and things. Other days it's just loud, and there's a lot of construction noise and all that. When it's done, it'll be lovely. Turns out these things are going for way more money than I think they're worth. Which means the value of the neighborhood's going up. Which
sure, that's a good thing.
Good for it's us, good. Right?
Yeah.
So we may, in like a blink of an eye, increase our home value by like $100,000 without doing anything, which is nice. Not that we're moving or anything, but you know, it's nice to have the value of the neighborhood go up. So that's all been fine. And when they're done, they'll be beautiful. They really are kind of cool inside, but they're going for all this money. And anyway, they're hurrying because I guess they want to be as done as they can be before winter. So they're hauling at cheeks over there, just working. And sure. there is always about 50 guys over there cranking away and hammering. They got weird tools out. You know, everyone's doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And this was really kind of funny. I'm reading my book. I'm reading The Stand, right?
Okay.
And I'm out on the front porch, and there's some of this construction going on. And I'm just chilling, taking a break, reading my book. And it's the hustle and the bustle of the construction. And here's what I hear. I hear this. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
This sound. I hear. Like that across the street.
Uh-huh.
And then I hear this crash like like this horrible crash sound. And right. then I hear this. I hear this guy in a. I'm not going to affect the accent because I don't think I'll do it any justice. But okay. it was a like a you know probably from Mexico or somewhere very Latin accent, and he goes, "Bullshit."
Really?
Yeah. So it was like I want to give you the timing of it. It was like, just imagine I'm looking at my Kindle sitting on the porch, and I hear I don't even look up. I just hear. And then a nice pause. Bullshit. And I couldn't stop laughing. And I still don't know exactly what happened because I couldn't see where the, you know, it was behind the main structure there. I don't know what happened.
Wow.
But man, was that great or what?
That's great.
I didn't know what to think.
I think your imagination is going to be far better than probably the reality of what actually happened.
Right, right. But what's weird is it's like all the construction went silent after the crash. And he's the only one that said anything, and it's all you could hear for like a football field away, and nobody said anything after that. So I'm trying to. The only thing I can think of is something bad happened.
Right.
Dude in charge is like, oh no, I'm in huge trouble now, or something. Like something big and expensive broke in half. I don't know.
Was that the initial noise? Mm-hmm. Was that like a mechanical noise, or was that somebody grunting like they were.
Taking a Duke
or passing a cantaloupe or something.
Yeah. Actually, a little of both. I mean, that's the funny thing about it. And it was loud enough. Again, he's clear across the street, but it was loud enough for me to hear him do it. And it was obviously tied to this somehow. Like maybe something had slipped from his grip, or he had it tied to the back of a tractor or something. Or not tractor, like a bulldozer thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I came away from that thinking that was pretty funny. Well, then. So yesterday, I'm doing a similar thing. I'm chilling out. I'd spent some time with the dog. It's around lunchtime, a little late lunch, like 1:30 or something. And I had a big afternoon full of crap to do. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to eat. I'm going to go out. I'm going to play catch with the dog for a little bit. And then I'm going to sit in that hammock and I'm going to read one more chapter in my book. And then I'm going to go back and do some stuff. I sat down or I laid down in the hammock. And that's always a mistake because that thing is comfy as hell. And I knocked out like in seconds. I usually don't nap, but I fell asleep and I'm laying there with my Kindle on my chest on the hammock in the shade, beautiful day, and I fall asleep. And I'm probably, it's only like maybe 20 minutes, so no big deal. It's as long as I would have sat there reading.
Sure.
No big deal. Little cat nap. But I wake up and go, oh, I kind of made like a little, oh, I'm, you know, like I'm talking to myself like I slept or something. Right. There's a bee in my mouth. And I don't mean on my mouth, on my face, sitting on my head. There's a bee in my mouth.
It has traveled. It has moved into the confines of the...
Yeah. My orifice. My mouth orifice. It's hanging out in there going...
Oh, my God. Oh.
I just about had the biggest panic freak I've ever had. And I start going... on this thing, and it's a hammock, so it's like super unstable. So I'm flipping around like an idiot. I'm about to fall out of it. My Kindle goes launching off into the grass somewhere. The dog going it's like totally freaking out. And I'm just trying all I can do to spit this bee out, and it's actually kind of hard to do. And I don't know how it got in there or how it didn't wake me up, or maybe it did. Maybe that's why I woke up, maybe because I felt that. I don't know. But it was also out of like this dead, tired, out of it 20 minute thing, and to this very second I am still crawling. My skin is crawling.
I can't even imagine.
I can't even think about it without me feeling like I'm gonna, like something's crawling all over me. And it reminded me fondly of some old film sack, so I'm gonna bring these up here. Here you go. Remember this here you go.
Bees! Millions of bees!
That's what the first thing that crossed your mind?
Yep, and this sound. Oh gosh.
Houston on...
Whoop, not that.
Oh my God!
No, that's... It's,
you saying these bees eat plastic?
No, I'm saying they were in my mouth. Anyway, very foul.
Help! Help!
It was terrible.
And I didn't know
if, like... Is it possible that he may have left like a stinger in there and I didn't know it?
No, I think you'd know.
Would I have felt that?
Yeah, you would have felt that.
Okay.
And I'm you not probably laid eggs in your mouth though.
Great.
They'll hatch.
Great.
And, you know.
Little baby bees.
Yep, little baby bees.
Is that how they do those? Are they eggs?
No, I think they have larvae.
They squeeze them out.
They only do that like in the confines of a honeycomb or something.
Right. So they have to have a queen and all the drones and the social structure of bees need to be present. I think all I had there was my mouth and a bee. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's enough for a family. Anyway, it was gross. And it was gross. Oh, wait. How many people got bingo on that? What? Oh, wrong clip. Wrong sound clip, everyone. Why? Oh, because I played the wrong thing. You're right. All right. You know what? I'm glad that even my dumb stories every day have a chance of getting bingo. That's
right.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, they increase the chances, actually, because you might yell away from the microphone. You might.
Do you think? Okay, here's the bigger question. I don't think we have any. What are they called? Not entomologists. What's a bee expert? This is gonna be a word, right?
Apiarists. Because an apiary is a bee thing.
Ape rapists, right? Is that the way? You got it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beekeeper. Wait. Oh, Okay, the study...
Apiarists.
It says here, it's a branch of entomology concerning the scientific study of bees. This is called... I don't know if I can say it right. Melittology. Melittology.
Sure. Melittology
covers the species found in the covers more than 17,000 species of bees, including bumblebees and honeybees. So if you are called this, you are called a subdivision of this is apiology, study of honeybees. It's a variant spelling of apiology in the outside. Okay. And then there's apicology, which is the study of bee honeybee ecology. There are a number of societies, and this is the most boring list I've ever looked at.
just waiting for
it. Anyway, I just want to let it end, please. Anyway, I just would, if there's any, my point was to ask if there are any experts out there listening, you want to write in and tell me what is it about a gaping mod idiot midday, you know, sleeping on a hammock guy that would attract a bee.
No, but just to kind of put a pin in this, E. David Croft says that Scott Johnson is Candyman.
Oh, no. Candyman. Oh, if we say it one more time, we're in huge trouble.
Oh, no. Don't do it.
No one type. No one type it again either.
Don't type it.
Scott Googles something is on the card.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. You guys are insane. All right. It's Daryl time.
Daryl time.
Yeah, let's call him. Anyway, I think I've had the all I can handle for the next few days for stories. I don't think I'm...
You're not going to top a waking up with a bee in your mouth.
How could I? How could anyone?
See? With a CPAP, that wouldn't happen to you.
Oh, that's right. Wouldn't it get sucked into the architecture of it, though? Like into a tube?
No, there's a filter. Oh. It's not like a Dyson vacuum. That's...
No?
Even light can't escape its grasp.
You have a little button you can hit and the cord just retracts automatically real fast? Do you have one of those? No?
No, I don't have one of those.
Man, you need to upgrade. It is Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Are you willing to help a wary traveler and his dog the week before Labor Day? Do you live in Indianapolis, Kansas City, Denver, or Salt Lake City? Please help us out as we travel from Canada to Seattle to our new home. We would love to meet some other tadpoolers along the way. Please email ben@bendelano.ca for information. Bendelano. Hey, Ben, better bring some potato chips. If you throw in those delicious potato chips, the white bags with the plain text on them.
They were amazing.
I think we might have something there.
They were so good. Did he say how many are in his party? He didn't, did he?
Yeah, him and a dog.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's just a man and his dog.
A man and his dog. Speaking of men and their dogs, it's Daryl. Daryl doesn't have a dog. Daryl, hi.
Hello.
Do you not have a dog or do you have a dog?
No, we don't. We just have a cat.
You should get a dog. Dogs are great. Cats are okay, too. They're fine. Yeah, but, you know.
We've been pondering a dog, but we'll see.
All right. You have to actually buy one, though.
Dog pondering.
Yeah. Something about that. Sounds fun to say, doesn't it?
Dog pondering
with Daryl Skeels.
Daryl's podcast. Daryl's pondering.
Daryl's the Trek nerd. He comes on the show. He answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek. That's what he does. It's how we do. But this week, it's not Star Trek at all, even though I'm playing the music in the background, and I said I'd have different music already, but I don't. It's a Futurama week again. So I'll play this again. Where's a...
He was from the future, too.
Nah, it's not the same, but whatever. Daryl, let's get to the question at hand. Again, it's a little bit of one of those break weeks. We really like doing these. We're going to talk about an episode of that show, which is the episode Anthology of Interest Part 2. Okay? Hmm. Fry wonders what the world would be like as a video game. He has an All Rush mixtape. This is the one where, you know, Space Invaders attack and all that. It's great.
Oh, right, right. It's like Pixels if it was if Pixels was good.
Yeah, it's a really, really great version of what Pixels should have been.
Right.
What Rush song plays during the segment on the episode from his mixtape? Is it A, The Camera Eye, B, Limelight, C, Tom Sawyer, or D, YYZ? So The Camera Eye, Limelight, Tom Sawyer, YYZ. All of us need to answer this one because we don't have any. It's for everybody. Is that YYZ? What song is that?
That's Limelight, I think.
Is it Limelight?
Yeah.
Oh, that song's so good.
It is so good. Signed a gilded cage. And that's my guess right there.
All right. So you're going to say, well, let's, before you get to that.
Oh gosh. I spilled my candy in the lobby, didn't I?
You did. It's okay, though. There's people to take care of that. It's not a problem. We're going to do this now.
Hey.
Daryl, today in Trek history included what?
On this day in 1977, the Writer's Guide is released for the Star Trek Phase 2 TV series that never happened.
What is a Writer's Guide?
That tells what all the characters are supposed to be like. And
oh, all right. So like a synopsis.
It's like, the Bible of what those characters do or don't do or what their history is. So you don't say... Back when I was captain of the Mulflinkel ship, and another episode have him say, yeah, back when I was second in command on the
USS Mulflinkel.
Exactly. So you gotta, you know, it basically keeps them consistent.
I see.
Continuity.
I see. So do we, I've never asked you this, do we have knowledge as to what these characters, was it Kirk and everybody again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was Kirk and everybody.
Oh, all right. Well, didn't,
and I guess
that was almost
Leonard
the original
Nimoy,
name for the show.
Kirk and everybody.
Leonard Nimoy didn't want to be in it, so they had this guy named Zahn, and they still had him, but he died in the beginning of the motion picture on the transporter.
Oh, no way. That's mm-hmm. awesome trivia. You know what? You can't say the phrase guy that died in the transporter accident in the motion picture without me immediately having the visual of Mort Drucker's Mad Magazine parody art showing that happen in the movie. They did a parody of the movie.
Right. It wasn't like a little pile of meat with a bone sticking out of it or
yes,
something.
Yes. And there was a guy, and there was somebody, there was a Starfleet officer off to the side roasting a marshmallow over it.
Right. I completely remember it too.
And I can't, that is inextricably connected to the scene. Without That's any fantastic. Hesitation, my brain goes there. I was so into Mad Magazine then. It was a horrible addiction for me.
It's fantastic.
Couldn't wait to fold that back page, man. See what the hell is back there. Sure. Don Martin cracking me up with his weird angles and his stupid faces.
What? Me worry?
Yeah. I never did like...
Alfred E. Newman?
No, he was fine. It was who was the artist in the middle that just looked like math book illustrations? I can't remember his name. Al Jaffe. I couldn't do him.
Oh, really? Oh, I like Al Jaffe.
I don't know what it was. It was too, I think I probably have a better appreciation for it now, but when I was younger, they made me tired to look at. They just, because they weren't as extreme or as goofy looking, you know?
Right, because it looked like a textbook.
Yeah, like art from a textbook. The jokes were good, but I would just be put to sleep by the art. I think today I probably appreciate it more, but... Anyway, oh, Mort Drucker, still alive. That guy. Ugh, my hero. There's no artist who had a bigger impact on me growing up than that guy. If you don't know who I'm talking about, look up Mort Drucker sometime. There's no greater freaking caricature artist / cartoonist alive.
Here's some Al Jaffe for the chat room right there.
Yeah. Good times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad we went down that rabbit hole.
I am too. I love Mad Magazine.
And I'd be very curious to see the treatment of those characters in 77 just from what would they change? What did they try to upgrade? Kind of, you know, like when they took Battlestar Galactica and tried to make the new, Battlestar Galactica 1982 or something? Or what was it called? Ah, shoot.
Wasn't it Galactica 1980 or something?
I think that was it. Yeah. Which seemed weird to me because... That date would not hold up over time. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't you call it Galactica 3000 or something?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, and then that was real dumb. That it was a
like
very,
Space 1999.
Yeah, like that. I mean, we were terrible in Space in 99, it turns out. That, right. That poor show. There's nothing they can
we
do.
We were not good at it. No.
No, we were not nearly as good at it. We're not good at it now, for heaven's sakes. You need to do like Star Trek and do like, you know, at least like, you got to do it. You got to do like 23rd century or higher so that by then we're all wiped out anyway and no one will care. You don't want to get past that and have us go, well, this is shitty. We're still driving cars.
Right.
And drinking yeah. milk and stuff. This is lame. I don't know why the milk came into it. Anyway, Daryl. Let's get back to this question here that we're all being asked in this episode, Anthology of Interest 2, where Fry wonders what the world would be like in a video game. He has this Rush mixtape. Which one of these songs plays during that segment? Was it A, The Camera's Eye, B, Limelight, C, Tom Sawyer, or D, YYZ? I have no idea.
I'm going to default to Brian because I have no clue.
I don't remember either. I remember it happening, and it may have been Tom Sawyer. You know what? You say Limelight, Brian.
Do you want to say Tom Sawyer?
I'm going to say Tom Sawyer. You say yeah. Limelight.
It seems okay, I'll like say Limelight, too.
Okay.
Okay. It seems like it would be the most... Tom Sawyer would be kind of the obvious one, right? Because that was a hit.
Sure. Limelight was big, too, though. That was a good song.
It was. But would it fit... Would it fit the scenes of him fighting the video game characters?
That's true.
Tom Sawyer seems like it would fit more. I'm going to stick with Limelight, but I'm...
But you see where my head is. That's what you're
I
saying.
I totally see where your head is.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, now maybe I should flip.
Well, it's
because
fine.
Because Tom Sawyer, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to flip?
Modern day warrior, today's Tom Sawyer. I mean, come on. It fits the scene.
Ba-da-ba-da-er. I don't know.
Oh, now I don't know. No, I have to stay with Brian, and if he's wrong, I'll just blame him.
All right, fine.
Just go down with the ship. All right.
Yep.
Okay, did we get it right? I had to, hold on, timing here. The answer is, oh, it looks like Scott.
Congratulations.
Nice.
You're Ooh. A winner.
You guys. Tom Sawyer plays during the segment. Part of the lyrics of the song mention the space he invades as the game Space Invaders is part of the story. Here's a clip of all that going down. So here you go.
Invaders, possibly from space.
People of Earth, I am Lur of the planet Nintendo 64. Tremble in fear at our three different kinds of ships.
All right. It's Saturday night. I have no date. A 2-liter bottle of Shasta and my All Rush mixtape. Let's rock.
If you have not seen that episode.
Invades. Yeah, no kidding. It's even there in the lyrics.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
It's really good.
Why would you go with me on that, Daryl? Why would you follow me into the dark?
I even wrote down Tom Sawyer because I thought it might be that. But then, I don't know. You're the expert.
The Colonel Pac-Man bit is hilarious. The Donkey Kong at the White House.
I love the mention of Shasta. 2-liter bottle of Shasta. I haven't thought about Shasta soda in decades.
Yeah, that was huge then. I remember the offshoots for me as a kid were Shasta. Mm-hmm. Squirt was a big deal.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I love Squirt. I still love Squirt.
Squirt's basically like Mountain Dew, right?
No, it's more of a grapefruit-flavored soda.
Oh, all right. I remember.
Do you remember Nesbitts?
Nesbitts?
That's yeah, I remember the logo. It was...
Was it candy?
No, it was soda.
Yeah, orange.
No, I don't remember
that
at all.
Well, they had all flavors, but
the grape,
had orange.
Yeah, I remember Nesbitts grape.
I don't remember that at all.
I think it wasn't Shasta. Shasta was one of the grocery store brands, right? Like Kroger had Big K.
I think Shasta was more of a mainstream one, but it was mainstream in the sense of like RC Cola being mainstream. It was smaller, you know, like it wasn't a big deal, but I don't think it was exclusive to a chain.
Okay.
Let's see. History. There's a Shasta Historical Society. Oh, that's Shasta County somewhere. All right, never mind. Let's see.
Shasta wants to know your location. Apparently Shasta's still a thing. There's a 2015 updated page showing the flavors of Shasta, California Dreamin', which is their cream soda.
Mm-hmm.
They have Shasta Zazz, which is their grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
Tiki Punch, Shasta Twist,
yep.
And Shasta Black Cherry Classic.
Here's your history. Shasta began as the Shasta Mineral Springs Company at the base of Mount Shasta, California, 1889. In 1928, the name was changed to the Shasta Water Company. It produced bottled mineral water in Shasta Springs, North Carolina or Northern California. The water was poured into glass-lined railroad cars and shipped for local bottling. Okay, so that's how they shipped it around.
If you have a Dollar Tree anywhere near you,
mm-hmm.
you can go buy Shasta, because that is like, it looks like the almost the exclusive distributor of Shasta these days.
Wow, look how far they've come then.
Dollar Tree. Yeah. Nice.
By 1960, it says they were one of the well-known brands in the United States during the 60s under the ownership of so-and-so something-something. In 85, they were acquired by National Beverage Corp., which also marketed the Faygo line.
Mm, there you go. Shasta and Faygo, twin sons of different mothers.
Their ad campaign slogans are Shasta, it has to be Shasta. Hasta, get it? Has to be Shasta.
Be Shasta. Nice.
Or I want to pop, 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 I want to Shasta. That was an
80s thing. I remember
that
one. That's the one I remember. I also remember the phrase, who runs Bartertown? Shasta Blaster runs Bartertown. That's my favorite. That was my favorite commercial slogan for them.
I don't know why I'm having so much nostalgia about this.
Master Shasta.
Master Shasta runs Bartertown. Anyway, there you go. That's good stuff. That's a great episode. And seriously, if you have not seen that episode of Futurama, you're wasting your time in your life. Go watch it. It's fantastic.
Right.
Daryl, good job on getting it wrong, you too, Brian. And tomorrow we do it again. Daryl is the Trek Nerd. You can find him on This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast, and, of course, the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Daryl, play a game with us, whatever it is. What do you got?
Okay. Oh, first, yesterday we recorded episode 200 of This Week in Trek.
Whoa, ooh. that's a milestone, I'd call it.
4 years? That doesn't seem possible.
How can it even be?
I don't know.
Yet it is.
That's impossible.
It's unbelievable. What the hell is going on here?
What in the hell is going on out there?
All right.
Okay, anyway.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. That's outrageous.
This is outrageous!
What?
What?
All right.
Star Trek fish. Or actual fish.
Okay, I have a theme for you. Ready? Here you go. Mm-hmm. This is a jumbled 1980s VCR tape of a news anchor. Okay, here you go.
Reaction to rezoning at 91st Memorial tonight.
It's like Skype before Skype became a
wow,
thing.
Wow, no kidding. Yeah.
Dude, you're even good at doing an impression of that. That's crazy. All right. Sorry. What was it again?
Star Trek fish.
Or actual fish. Okay, I'm ready.
Fish or no fish? The new Howie Mandel game.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Don't shake his hand. Yeah.
Slippery dick.
Slippery dick. Slippery dick.
There is no way that that's a Star Trek fish.
Star Trek fish or actual Scott nickname in high school.
That's right. Yeah, he's. have you seen Ensign Johnson? No, he's up in 10-4 already eating a slippery dick. Yeah, there's no way. There's no way that they use that for Star Trek.
Hey, Quark, what's the special? Slippery dick. I'll have one.
Exactly.
I kind of think that's no way that's Star Trek. Bring it
to my ready room.
Bring the slippery dick. I feel like we have to name the show this, but also I feel like it's not a Star Trek fish. It must be a real fish.
It has to be a real fish.
Yeah.
Well, have I got a surprise for you?
No way.
It is a real fish that generates slime to slip away from predators.
No, that I could see. And they probably named it in like the 20s when it's like, that fish is real slippery dick. It's like before people had co-opted the Richard Short name for something terrible. So
exactly.
All right. Well, then we got it right, didn't we?
Yep.
All right. And what sounded very similar to Snap. Yep.
And congratulations to the Tadpoles, Thorin, who managed to get a bingo with the line, crazy story, yelling away from Mike, free space, bingo meta, and what?
Wow. That's that's a pretty eclectic grouping.
It's a great, you had a good card there, sir.
Nicely
done.
There's
no way you could have lost today.
Nope. You're a winner from the minute you woke up.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by.
It's a truly nerdtacular episode of Tell It Anyway. This week, it's all fun and games until you burn your eyebrows off or your friend drops a pair of garden shears on your skull. And let's not even talk about the guy who burned down a Dairy Queen. Check it out if you dare. TellItAnyway.com.
I feel like we almost do a version of that show. Every morning.
Every morning, yeah.
It's right. The stories we tell.
But not to dissuade people from listening to Tell It Anyway.
No.
You will get different things.
Yeah, they should go there. All right, we're going to try to add Justin to this call.
Okay, good.
Because that was our commitment to the American people and to those abroad. I've not heard where he is. He could be somewhere in the country where he is unaware of time zones. Mm-hmm.
One of those regions
mm-hmm.
of the U.S. that does not follow time.
If there's somebody, I don't know anyone who travels more. I've got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone who travels as much as Justin does.
No, I'm with you. He even backed a, I follow him on Kickstarter, I guess, and he backed a travel jacket that I said, you know what, if there's anybody that can use that travel jacket,
mm-hmm.
it's Jury. It's like the perfect travel jacket.
Well, tell me about it. What do you use it for? Like little pockets everywhere or what?
Yeah, so it's got, you wear it on the plane.
Yeah.
And you have easy access to your headphones. They're like on the built into the collar.
Right.
You've got a pocket that'll hold your soda. So like if you get a can of pop, but you've got a laptop and a tray table and you're like, oh, how do I get all this stuff off of here and close up the tray table so that the window seat guy can go to the bathroom? Mm. There's a jacket pocket that is insulated and waterproof to stick your soda can in.
Wow. That seems all right.
It seems brilliant, right?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good idea.
It's a great thing.
How about, does it have a built-in barf bag? Because you know the rumors.
You could probably use the soda slot for that.
Ah, okay. Well, have you heard the rumors, though? That they're, some of the airlines are going to stop putting barf bags in them.
What? Really?
Yeah, that's a real thing. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if they have some study showing air sickness is down or something, but there's some talk.
Does that take up too much room? Is it too expensive to make that little paper sack with a twist tie on the top?
That's my conspiracy, is that it's just another cost-cutting measure to turn air travel into a shit show completely.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to charge you for the barf bag.
That would be the
worst.
Would
you like a barf bag? That's an additional $19.99.
They would do that, wouldn't they?
They would do that.
Jerks.
Yeah.
All right,
Bob X is the jacket. Neck pillow, eye mask, drink pocket, microfiber cloth, sunglass pocket, iPad pocket, hand-warming pockets.
How does it look?
Which they misspelled. Nice job. Earphone holders, phone pocket, zippers, pen, stylus, passport pocket, blanket pocket, gloves, and a portable charger pocket.
Oh, it doesn't look that bad.
No, it's pretty cool looking, but they do this irritating thing. And you can tell, when you scroll down and you see, like, they show you the people who were involved with making this thing.
Yeah.
And they show you the co-founder and CEO and the founder and chief design officer. And they're like, oh, yeah, these are the people who really believe in this product and want to see it succeed. And then you scroll down a little bit and you've got Colin Trethewey. He's the communications manager with his little smarmy looking photo.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who insisted on doing this business with the early bird pledges. We'll only have 100 for this early bird pledge and 50 for this early bird pledge. Oh, they're all gone.
Oh, that's a shame.
And come on, people. There are 10 early bird levels that are all gone.
Some of these Kickstarters ever strike you as like, they're like those late night infomercials sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
And I worry because you see this thing, you're like, wow, did you see how quickly that cut a tomato? And then you get it at home and you're like, this is the shittiest piece of plastic garbage ever. I always worry.
Right.
Because when they're this big, how's this deal? 4 million, 4.6 million?
Yes.
Of its $20,000
goal. Something's hinky, right?
Something's up.
But I kind of want it, but I don't,
I want it too. How many backers? 24,000 people can't be wrong, right?
24,000 people who got in on the early bird crap. That early bird business, do one level of early bird. Totally fine, because then it's like, hey, we're going to use this first early bird to make sure that we get our mm-hmm. funding. Mm-hmm. Get in there cheap, get people going.
Yep.
But these guys look at all these early bird levels of like just increase $10 incrementally.
Yeah, that's all they did.
Creating fake urgency, which apparently has worked with me.
It's completely worked with you. Now, look, you totally want one now.
It totally worked.
Is anything available anymore? Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, you scroll down.
The two, let's see how much. Okay, the next option you can get is the special price pack of two.
Oh, really?
For $249, Brian.
Well, there you go. You and I'll go in on this and we'll split that, split the difference.
Yeah, just ship it to each other every time we're done with it.
Well, no, we get a pack of two.
Oh, Yeah, that's fine. Okay, well, there you go. Jerry's been called.
No jury.
He's been called, so he'll know if he sees it. He can just join.
He'll just jump in and start talking. He'll freak us out.
There it is. And if not, we'll figure something out. Fantastic Four director Josh Trank is blaming the Fox film studios, for the poor reviews his film is getting. Josh Trank, formerly of the, he did that other kind of Fantastic Four-like movie, the little independent superhero deal business. Also had that same kid in it from Friday Night Lights, and I can't think of the name.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, the show was, the movie was called...
Is that the one you're thinking of? It's like...
it's a superhero thing, like found footage.
Chronicle.
Chronicle, that's it.
Yeah, Chronicle. That I thought you were talking about the other one, the romantic comedy with him.
Nope. Although he is, he's in the new Creed movie, right? He's Apollo Creed's son. I think that's
really?
Yeah. Have you seen the trailer for that? It's pretty, no, it looks great.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it looks genuinely good. And Rocky's in it. He doesn't direct it or anything, but he's in it. He plays Rocky. Balboa, in fact. Anyway, wow. Josh Trank tweeted that the final version of Fantastic Four was not his own and that his version would have gotten better reviews. The tweet sent out on Thursday, but now deleted. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Claimed that Trank had a version that he was happy with a year ago and implied the studio made changes that his version would will now never be seen, saying that this is that's reality, though, is what he says in quotes. The Fantastic Four production was plagued with problems. The Hollywood Reporter revealed back in May that Trank's behavior and unusual conduct on set was the cause of great concern among Fox chiefs. I wonder what that means. Yeah. And he's hired to do a Star Wars thing. So maybe there's some, I don't know. If he is a problem, then maybe that won't happen either. I don't know. Or maybe that won't end up happening. But yeah, Josh Trank in the news with his horribly performing film. That nobody likes it.
I know.
I've yet to, you know.
Yeah. I don't want to support it. And I know it's going to be bad. And I know I'm just going to be so disappointed if I go see it.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to see it while it's in theaters. I'm sure, you know, I'm going to wait until it's in like the cheap theaters or something, like the dollar theaters.
9%.
I know. That's
abysmal.
That's below Pixels.
That's really bad.
Pixels is like 13, right?
Yeah. How can you? Oh, don't even think about that. Yeah. Pixels, 17%. Fantastic Four, 9. See, to me, it seems like
half as good as the last Adam Sandler.
It seems to me like if I were Marvel, I'd want to pony up whatever money it took to buy Fox off and get that property back before because at some point you besmirch it so much and it has the Marvel name on it that you're actually kind of hurting yourself.
Yeah. Ugh. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Ugh. All right. Anyway,
because there are people out there who don't realize that there are different studios who have the Marvel licenses, right? Who think, oh, you know, Ant-Man was great, Avengers was great, Fantastic Four, that's another Marvel comic book movie. Y'all go see that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, you know, associate it with the comic book company, not with the movie studio.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. If I were them, I'd buy it. I'd get it back. I'd steal it back. Do something. You got to do something. Even cause a bunch of lawsuits. You got to do something. Make that thing happen.
Right. They're already doing. I mean, Marvel's already supposedly, and there's speculation in the industry that Marvel is, because they ended the Fantastic Four comic book.
Yeah.
And that people are seeing this as them perhaps making it so it's a property that is unfranchisable.
Interesting.
In movies. So basically it's like, people aren't going to be interested in the movie. We're not going to sell the comic book. And eventually Fox will just say, all right, you can have it back.
Yeah. And then the Marvel can go, we're rebooting the whole thing.
Right. Exactly. And let them, you know, I mean, Marvel doing a Fantastic Four movie will be great. It'll have Steve Buscemi as the Mole Man.
All right. I like it. That's good.
Yeah.
They
Dr. Doom won't be a freaking angry blogger.
That is the
stupidest
idea.
It really is.
Columbia House, remember them? They'd send you your discs and your tapes.
I do remember that. I was a Columbia House captive.
I was as
for
well.
A few years.
That's how I got. When I was into metal growing up. That's how I got like Scorpions and stuff like that.
Eight albums for a penny?
It was crazy, and all I had to do was spend the rest of my life buying CDs at overprices.
Right.
Yeah, that was a great deal. Exactly. They were the Spotify of the 80s, they say. It is now dead.
Yeah, that's written by somebody who does not understand Columbia House.
Yep. I think
how is that the Spotify of the 80s?
It's nothing like that. I don't know why they're saying that.
That's the QVC of the 80s.
Yeah. Columbia House offered you incredible deals with a trademark. When you signed up, you'd just get a bunch of free albums for a penny and then in turn promised to buy a set number of albums over the coming year. blah, blah, blah. They would automatically send you a disc every month, and you had to send it back right. if you didn't want it.
You had to
actually
send a card back that said, no, I don't want Whitney Houston.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting Columbia House has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. It was an ugly ending. Revenues for Columbia House peaked in 1996 at $1.4 billion. Mm. That's a lot of revenue. In 96, even.
No kidding, yeah.
But last year, the company declared net revenue of just $17 million. And it says here, hell, it hadn't even been in the music business since 2010, so they've been doing something else. You know, it's interesting. Why didn't they... I know they were doing DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff as well, so they got into video.
Mm-hmm.
You always wonder about this stuff. Like, when a big company like Blockbuster is out there owning the home rental market,
mm-hmm.
and they just let something like Netflix come and just destroy them, and not seeing it in front of them,
completely eat their yeah,
like their not lunch. Knowing that that's what they should have been doing, or like I don't know how it happens to a company. I guess you get big enough and enough, so many people you lose your ability to have forward thinking vision. A lot of people say that's why Google did this Alphabet spinoff thing, and people love making fun of it and everything. But now you know Google's got this big parent company, and Google is now pretty much a subsidiary of Alphabet.
Of Alphabet,
and
yeah.
So will be all their other major offshoots.
I hope Tom talks about that today, because I want to understand it. Yeah, and nobody helps me understand things.
Like Tom.
Like Tom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's been on DTNS kind of talking about it since it happened, sure. And I'm sure today we'll get a bit of that. But it's interesting because they seem to be doing that in an effort to stem off the things that do happen to giant companies after a while, mm-hmm. which is they forget how to be
competitive
and forward thinking, yeah. and think past their own success. And Columbia House, I mean, Brian, there's no reason we shouldn't have a big, very popular streaming service called Columbia House Streaming.
Right. They could have easily gotten in on that. And you would basically get, what would you get? Would you get automatic albums added to your streaming service unless you said you didn't want them?
I would right? I think they may have evolved past that part.
I don't want the new U2 album automatically.
Yeah, it's just interesting because I don't know how you don't see it coming, like Sony and the Walkman and then watching the iPod just destroy them. And you know, I don't know.
I'll bet somewhere I've got one of those, because there were times I forgot to send it back and I ended up with some real crap that I didn't want.
Yeah,
I'll bet somewhere in, you know, in these folders of like my old college paperwork, I'll bet I've got some Columbia House, because that would have been about the same time. I remember signing up for it before I moved into the dorms and getting my albums delivered there. Mm. I bet I've got some of those stupid cards that say, hey, if you don't send this back, you're going to get the latest hits from Kenny G or who's the guy who was on General Hospital?
Oh,
Jack Wagner.
Jack Wagner, yeah.
Get the new Jack Wagner album. Guess what? Guess what I have sitting over there in my record cabinet?
That's amazing.
I have the freaking Jack Wagner album.
That's amazing. He just retired from General Hospital, by the way. Barely, like a week ago.
Of course he did.
I heard him on some show talking about it.
It's just a little more time to make sure what I feel.
It's awful.
Is it all in my mind?
He had a bad agent. A bad agent there. My Little Pony movie being made.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's called
My
Little...
Is it going to be live action? Please let it be live action.
My guess is...
Featuring bronies.
It can't be, right? It's got to be... Yeah, it says here animated.
I think it should be...
I think it should be live action, too.
People in suits.
Mm-hmm. Like, guy on the back, dude in the front. Like, all that stuff. I want all that. Write that one down. Nice warm. Lionsgate and Hasbro Allspark Pictures are developing a new My Little Pony movie. The company announced on Friday. Tony and Emmy Award-winning Kristen Chenoweth. She liked the pie maker.
She is, yeah. She was, what was her, Snook?
Snook.
Olive Snook.
Olive Snook. Will voice a new character in the film, which is Hasbro's first animated film. That can't be right. Hasbro. Hasbro makes Transformers. They had a theatrical animated Transformers in the 80s.
Sure.
It's not their first animated
film.
No,
that's not. Come on, people.
Maybe 3D CGI or something. Or maybe this isn't going to be that. Maybe it'll be the hand-drawn stuff. I don't know.
Oh, geez.
By the way, My Little Pony, which began in 83 as a line of toys and did okay, it has since exploded into international multimedia pop culture phenomena, grossing over $1 billion in retail sales in 2014 alone. $1 billion in sales. Good Lord. In the movie, a new dark force threatens Ponyville, and the main six, which is Twilight, Sparkle, Applejack, Rainbow Dash, Pinkie Pinkie Pie and Fluttershy and Rarity.
Rarity?
I guess that's the name. Is that a, that's a rapper.
This? Does anybody in the chat room who's viewing the stream, does anyone know who this one is?
Let's see.
Like a semi-transparent gold one with pink.
Is it, that might pink be Rarity. Fur. I don't know. I have no idea.
I get that. You think I get that free in a loot crate.
And I listen, I'm a fan of the animators who create that current incarnation of that show. And I bet the show is fun like everyone says it is. But I don't know any of this stuff. I have no idea.
Right.
Anyway, Rarity. Isn't Rarity a rapper? Or am I thinking of Clarity?
I don't know, but that's ludicrous.
All right. Oh, yeah? Well, that's Fat Boys or something. Anyway.
You get that for 50 cents.
They have to meet up with new friends and challenges on a quest to use the magic of friendship and save their home. So there's that. Oh, here we go. Rarity looks like this.
People are saying that Scootaloo is the one that I just held up in the chat room.
Rarity's purple hair with three diamonds on its butt.
Oh, yeah. Rarity.
Dr. Payne, I don't think I did a dad joke. What was my dad joke? Is there a dad joke? Fat Boys was a bad. That's not a dad joke.
I think mine was too. Oh. With the
Well, we're
that's
dads.
Ludicrous.
Oh, that is a good dad joke.
Yeah.
Finally, did you know? I can't believe this. A year ago, Robin Williams died. Yesterday.
I do remember that because Don and I were driving back from the trivia thing the day that we heard. Like it was basically. All of a sudden, we got into an area where I had cell service, and my phone just went with tweets about Robin Williams.
Yeah, it was a big deal. I just feels like it was less than a year ago. It feels like it was like 5 minutes ago. I feel like we just talked about this, but I think I'm going to, the kids and I talked about this. We're going to celebrate this weekend, not celebrate his death, but celebrate Robin Williams and finally show the kids. They've never seen Mrs. Doubtfire, so I think that one's next.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And I wasn't able to find streaming anywhere or even rentable. I may be on Amazon renting. I don't know. But what's it called?
Patch Adams?
Awakenings.
Oh, Awakenings.
Yeah. I want them to see that too. Mm-hmm. Anyway. I think
you know which one they need to see?
What's
is the Fisher King.
Oh, yeah. Fisher King's great.
That's my favorite, Robin Williams film.
Pretty good. What's his name? Movie
Jeff
too.
Bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like him.
But sad. But very sad.
Also very sad, yes. Also really good for what's his name, the director. I can't think of his name. What's wrong with me? In names.
Monty Python guy.
He has the two coconuts and the Holy Grail. It's
oh my God.
He's Patsy.
Brazil.
Brazil. Freaking Time Bandits.
We're just waiting for the chat room to show it. That's all I've stepped back.
We've already shown him Dead Poets Society chat room. What's Terry Gilliam. Jeez.
Thank you, David Croft. Criminy.
My phone won't stop buzzing. maybe it's because of this. Hold on. Yeah, we missed you, Justin. He got stuck with some work stuff. That's all right. We'll do him again tomorrow. We'll pull him in tomorrow.
Okay.
Tweaked Audio sponsoring the show. TweakedAudio.com is the place if you want to go and check out fine audio accessories and earbuds with 5 styles, 7 great colors, all designed to sound great no matter what you're sticking in your ear holes. Compatibility is key with iPods, iPhones, Android phones, MP3 players of all types. Most phones, really, even those Winders phones. Lifetime warranty on everything. Go to TweakedAudio.com. And as always, if you want to save a little money with our friends over there, you can use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off. That's at tweakedaudio.com. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Recommendals with Nicole, Tom's Tech Time, and your emails. Before all of that, though, Brian drug a bag of music with him.
I did. Right. And this is funny because it's not funny, but it's coincidental because our Recommendal today is Saturday Night Live alumni, right? And actors and actresses who've been on Saturday Night Live and movies they've done. This song, part of it was actually part of a Will Ferrell movie. Mm. We'll talk about that. Mm. Chris wrote in, said, "Hi, Scott and Brian. It grieves me to say that this weekend, May 2nd, I lost one of my dearest friends. Ryan was taken from us suddenly and without warning after having a severe asthma attack. We met through our mutual love of gaming, and his handle online was Blue Noodle. Today is his birthday, and this is how I would like to remember him. Not with melancholy, but with something that I know would make him laugh. Many thanks. Signed, Chris from the UK."
Man, I have a friend, not a friend, but an acquaintance I knew here locally, same thing, died of
an asthma attack?
Really bad asthma attack.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, scary.
Ugh. So he sent in the request at the beginning of May, but the request was for today. Today is Blue Noodle's birthday, Ryan's birthday. And the request is Dust in the Wind, as sung by Will Ferrell in the movie Old School. And of course, we'll see the reference as we hear it. It's a very short video clip, movie clip. So I decided to tack on and kind of do a little mashup with another version of Dust in the Wind to kind of extend it out into a full song. So we'll listen to that. It is Dust in the Wind, performed by both Will Ferrell and, I lost my notes here. And the other performer is Daughter Darling. And we'll hear them both. Mashed right. up together right here.
I like it. Here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes in curiosity. Dust in the wind.
Looks like we better put the KY wrestling on hold for a while. Good idea. Look, please don't beat yourself up over this thing, Mitch. It's not your fault. Damn it, Blue is old. That's what old people do. They die. Sorry.
All we are is dust in the wind. $188. Six benign traxels, $9 each. Stereo headphones, $1.99. Call it what you want, sell. Everything's got to go. 90 days, same as cash. You look around, you get your best price. Then you come to Doc Rock and I'll beat it. The price is so low, somebody else will be slapped. Oh. That's not my hand.
Seriously, would you get mad if I killed you?
The Morning Stream,
No, you better don't!
All right, we're back. We're back.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't that go? Oh, there we go. All right. Hey, hey, we're here. We're doing
it. Oh, hey. Oh, oh.
Talk to Jerry. He's got stuck with a work thing. We're going to try to have him back tomorrow.
Sure.
Everything's fine. Just, you know, stuff comes up. Everything's fine, everybody. Calm down.
All right. Okay.
Let's call Nicole.
I believe you.
Get into the groove here. Get a little of this business going on. Sure, this would be no problem. We've done this before. This isn't our first time at the rodeo. Although sometimes I wonder about myself. Here you go. Oh, yeah, there it is. All right, I know this. Nicole Spagnolo, hello.
Hey. I would actually like to change my theme today.
Oh, you're very quiet, by the way.
Am I?
Yeah, your microphone's very quiet.
What about now?
Now much better.
Much okay. better. What would you like to change your theme to?
What do you want to change it to?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
More cowbell.
Oh, classic.
Yeah.
It's a classic, man.
Every time I hear that song, I can't help but think of that skit.
Yeah, there's no way not to, right?
Right.
It's built into us now as human beings to hear it. Nicole Spag's on the show. She comes on the show every Wednesday. We talk about recommendals, stuff that's streaming and rentable and watchable online that we all think is cool. We usually have a theme. Today's theme is X Saturday Night Live people in films.
Yay!
That's exciting to me.
There's a lot right now streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, more than you'd usually expect, I think. I don't know why that is. Do you think that's just it's just that there's a lot of movies with SNL people in it? Is that why?
I mean, when you've had a show that's been on for 40 years or whatever it's been, you're going to have stuff that that those people have been in.
Yeah, SNL 40 this year, right? Last year.
Last year?
Yeah. When did they do the big thing where everybody showed
last
up?
Last year.
Last year. All right. Last year, everybody.
Well, no, was it this? It was this year, wasn't it? It was just earlier this year.
Was it? Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
I have no concept of time of anything before Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
That might as well all have been 2010.
It may as well have been.
75 or 76?
72, I thought.
75.
Three?
1975.
Five? Okay. Well, there you have it then. So how old are people then? If you were born in 75, you are 40. No.
You're 40.
Yes, 40.
You're 40.
I'm 39.
Hence the 40-year anniversary.
Ah, so okay. Math is hard. Put that on your bingo cards. All right, well, let's get to it. We have three of them. Who do you want to start with, Nicole? You get to pick.
Brian, do you want to start?
I'll start, sure.
Okay.
And I bet I'm starting with the most recent of all the movies that the three of us picked.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm willing to wager that my movie is the most recent.
All right.
No, mine is the most recent.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Maybe you're both doing the same movie.
Maybe we're both doing the same movie.
Well,
I actually have two.
All right.
Okay, good. You might need to use your backup.
All right. Well, here goes. I'm going to play Brian's clip, and then we can try to guess what this is. So here you go. Whoops. Play it.
You want to ride a motorcycle? Do you know how many of my patients have broken bones from motorcycle accidents? How many of them are in wheelchairs right now?
I don't know. How many?
Several. Very many.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Crystal was so crazy, why'd you let her babysit me?
Because their father's a psychopath. You know that they're mafia.
Mafia. We were afraid if we didn't hire his daughter, we're going to wind up buried in a landfill next to Dustin Hoffman.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Well, then who's the baseball player?
I don't think anyone.
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
But it really cracked me up, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, and it's funny because that clip features no Saturday Night Live alum, but it was one of the funniest scenes in the movie. That's Jim Gaffigan and Kate Walsh playing Danny's mom and dad. Danny, played by Graham Phillips, wants to ride a motorcycle. Really doesn't care about riding a motorcycle, actually, but his parents get on that kick. Mm. The movie's called Staten Island Summer.
Oh, I heard about this.
It's produced by Lorne Michaels. Mm-hmm. And talk about your Saturday Night Live treasure trove, not just alumni like Fred Armisen and Will Forte, but also current cast members like Colin Jost, Kate McKinnon, Cecily Strong, Bobby Moynihan. It's a It's filled with Saturday Night Live people.
Written by Colin Jost.
Written by Colin Jost. And he's the guy, he's one of the two guys on Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is, I think, the current cast's attempt to recreate Caddyshack / Meatballs. It's very similar to the Way, Way Back. The whole thing takes place, or a majority of the movie takes place, at a swimming pool, like a summer at a swimming pool, kind of like the water park from Way, Way Back. And it's got your super tropey cast of characters. Like, you've got Bobby Moynihan, who's basically doing the John Belushi character from Everything. Mm-hmm. You've got Fred Armisen, who is easily doing the Bill Murray character from Caddyshack, like the groundskeeper, who's obviously smoked too much pot and has lost some of his mental faculties. And the whole thing, you know, centers around this main character, Graham Phillips, playing Danny Campbell, a guy who's basically just trying to get with the, you know, have one last good summer before he goes off to college and hook up with this girl named Crystal that he's been in love with ever since she was his babysitter.
This is the cute bikini girl in the shorts on the
cover. This is the cute bikini girl in the shorts. Yep. All right. And it's got the wacky friend. It's got the older MILF sex pot played by Gina Gershon. It's got the tyrant of a swimming pool manager, and that's Mike O'Brien, who's also currently on Saturday Night Live. It's a very, you know, it basically hits all the tropes. It's almost like they said, all right, what's the formula for all those movies? Boom, we've got one of those. We've got one of those. We've got one of
is
those.
Is it set in like the 80s or something? I'm checking the clothes, and they all looks a little retro, but you're saying it's current.
It seems all current. Okay. You know, there's cell phones and ringtones and things like that are happening. So, however, as tropey and as formulaic as it is, I actually got to admit, I really enjoyed it. It's got enough of the kind of the goofy, twisted Saturday Night Live humor. It feels like like an extended version of one of those new things, well, not new, but things they do on Saturday Night Live recently that have been kind of the bigger hits, which are the pre-recorded video bits that they show in between all the live sketches. Mm. And it cracked me up. It was good. It was a good, light, fluffy, comfort food style movie.
Mm. Well, you kind of had me at Kate Walsh and Jim Gaffigan as the parents, because that makes me laugh just thinking about it.
Jim Gaffigan, basically every scene that Jim Gaffigan is in, he's hilarious.
That's awesome.
And Method Man even makes an appearance as a drug dealing ice cream man.
Wait, Method Man.
He's a rap person.
Is he the one in Hell on Wheels? Is that Method Man?
No, that's that's Common.
He's in Fast and the Furious.
Common, right.
He was actually both in Fast and the Furious and Gone in 60 Seconds.
Let's see. Method Man. Oh, there's Method Man.
Yeah.
Oh, I like Method Man.
Yeah.
Anyway. Method Man.
But that's not him.
All right. Well, I'll watch that. Here's Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it just came out June 30th. So it's been on, it went straight to streaming, and it's been there for a month.
you might be me. Beat me.
All right. Sounds like you might be the winner there, Brian. Mine for sure is not the newest. I'll play it now, and let's see if you guys can guess my clip. Here you go.
This game is unwinnable. Observe. I'll drop a ring from 3 inches away.
So nobody ever wins?
If someone wins a giant-ass panda on your watch, you should just go home because you're fired, okay? So the object of the game is to knock the hat off the dummy with a softball, except, as you'll see, half the hats are glued on.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we pay little Malaysian kids 10 cents a day to make these toys. We can't just give them away. You get a 5-minute bathroom break every 2 hours. I recommend saving a few of those up in case you have to go number two.
All right. Any guesses?
That's the guy from Freaks and Geeks, isn't it?
Yeah. It's Bill from Freaks and Geeks.
Right. Is that...
A.K.A.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Say it again.
You're really quiet. Sorry. Go ahead.
Adventureland.
Yes.
You are correct. Yeah, something changed on your configuration. I blame Mark.
Yes. Are you Mark? Cutting off.
It cuts out big time, and then you go real quiet. It's weird.
Damn it.
Mark? Freaking Mark! So, yes, Adventureland. 2009's Adventureland. Jesse Eisenberg, Kelsey Ford, other people you know, like Kristen Wiig, Bill Hader. They're the two main sort of alumni So that's how I cheated them in there. Because the movie's not really a setup for a SNL movie. It just so happens that Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader are in there.
Yeah.
But Martin Starr is the one you were talking about before.
Yes, he's awesome.
He's fantastic in this. I'm not really a big fan of Kristen Stewart very much, but I kind of like her in this. I think I like her in, you know, actually, if I'm truthful, I think I like her in everything but Twilight.
She's great in Panic Room.
Sure.
You could really sense the panic.
Right.
She was in that room.
She was panicked in that room, for sure. I don't know what it is about this movie, but it's funny, Brian, because yours kind of is a similar itch to scratch.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Swimming pool, amusement park.
Yep. Speaks to kind of your youth in a weird way, kind of your coming of age.
There goes our theme park themed movie recommendation.
Oh, yeah. It's true. We've blown it all already. Anyway, I really like it, and it's not a laugh riot constantly. There's thoughtful moments. It's not total farce. It's not like renting Hot Dog or something, which I also like, but for different reasons, which also has Bill Hader in it. But I'm kind of a Bill Hader. I have a man crush on Bill Hader.
Sure.
And
how can you not?
He's just amazing and makes me laugh no matter what he does, and he could just look at me and I'd laugh. So see Adventureland, streaming now on Netflix. Yes.
When is Jesse Eisenberg going to complete the Land trilogy, right? Because he had Zombieland, Adventureland. We need another one.
Yeah, what's the next Land? It'd be funny if I looked right now and found it. Let's see. He is in a movie called Superman
Social
Batman,
Network Land.
Now You See Me, the second act, American Ultra,
Louder Than Bombs. Oh, really? They're doing a follow-up to the Magician movie?
Mm-hmm. The End of the Tour, Rio 2, Modern Family he was on, I guess.
Lex Luthor Land.
The Newsroom Land. There's nothing else with Land, so I guess we're going to have to wait and see what he does there. Anyway, there's mine. Nicole?
All right, here we go. Hopefully you can hear it.
Yeah.
we heard the music earlier. Yeah. We heard...
Should be fine.
That's Will Ferrell before.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, meatloaf cake with mashed sweet potato icing. With only 433 calories, 52 grams of protein, and only 5 carbohydrates.
All right, that's that new Kristen Wiig thing, but I can't remember the name. Isn't it where she's like a rich person and decides she wants to have her own cooking show or something?
Do you have a guess, Brian?
I don't, but it sounds absolutely hilarious.
That's exactly what it is. It's called Welcome to Me.
Yeah.
It is a dark comedy drama. Kristen Wiig plays a woman that has borderline personality disorder, and she wins the lottery for $86
million. Oh my gosh.
And so she... Basically, she idolizes Oprah, so she goes to this public access television to watch one of the shows and ends up buying herself a show. And her therapist is Tim Robbins, and the dynamics with that. Also, Velma, the girl that played Velma.
Linda Cardellini.
Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
Linda
great.
Cardellini.
Yeah.
That's her best friend.
It's Hawkeye's wife in the new Avengers movie.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spoiler.
Oh, sorry.
So, yeah, it's weird at times. And it came out May of 2015.
Mm. Okay.
So I missed you by a month.
By a month.
I barely missed it. So it didn't review very well. Is it better than I think or than the reviewers think?
It's a good streaming movie. Mm. I mean, I didn't watch it streaming. I actually rented it when it first came out because it was one of those released in the theaters and then video on demand. And I watched the trailer. I'm like, I just love Kristen Wiig. I love anything she does.
You had, I mean, that clip you played, you had me at that. I added it to my queue as soon as I heard that clip. It's hilarious.
She does full frontal.
Kristen Wiig does?
It kind of caught me off guard. I was like, what?
Wow. I had no idea.
Wow.
That's interesting that she would choose that direct to streaming thing to make her break out.
I was
naked
thinking
role.
This was going to happen in Bridesmaids too.
Yeah, you never know.
It actually fits the scene.
Okay.
She plays a very mentally disturbed woman.
Oh, well, then that seems cheery and exciting.
There are funny bits to it, but it's actually, it's a struggle with depression and just. Everything in her life, you're like, what's going on? And thankfully she has a really good support system in her life. But I enjoyed the movie.
Well, I like her a lot, and uh I probably be happy to see that. So
I'll check it out. I have a quick bonus recommendal.
No, do you now?
You guys are up for it?
Sure.
This is something that that we talked about, I think, a few weeks ago as part of the recommendals. It came up just, I think, in discussion. It's a documentary that is produced by Rashida Jones from The Office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's called Hot Girls Wanted. And it is a documentary about the amateur porn industry and the girls and how they get the girls to do these things. Like, it's baffling. These Craigslist ads, they say, hey, you want to travel? Are you between this age? Email me. Mm. And they get these women to do these horrible porn things that...
I did hear about this.
And yeah, this came up this earlier this year as well.
Horrible, shocking underbelly.
Right. And something you get in this one that I haven't seen in any other documentary or I don't think... I mean, I'm basically comparing it to what else have I seen? I guess I've seen Showgirls and what was the one? The other one that was like that, Striptease.
No,
so those, sure. That's what I'm basing my stripper knowledge on. But you meet her parents and her family, her boyfriend, all of whom are just like struggling to kind of deal with this.
Wow.
It's a really, really interesting documentary.
Well, that's interesting. What's it called? What again? Hot Girls Wanted?
It's called Hot Girls Wanted.
You know what? It sounds like one of those documentaries that will work in two ways. One, people who are interested in that plight and want to, you know, be activists and help girls who are being exploited. And also, dudes who might run into that on Netflix and go, dude, this is called Hot Girls Wanted. We should watch this.
Right.
And then be, right. You know.
Wait a minute. This isn't what I'm looking for.
This is socially responsible and makes me want to do something good in the world.
This makes me not want to watch porn. You've killed it for me. How am I supposed to get a boner with a documentary?
Thank you so much, Rashida Jones.
And all of a sudden, I'm British.
Would you guys like my bonus?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a clip for it, too.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
I have a very serious question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Will you go to prom with me?
Oh, I think you're gassy.
You get it.
Is that the skeleton twins?
That is the skeleton twins.
Oh. I haven't seen this. I can't wait. This is on my list.
Yeah, it's on my list, too.
It's, again, another one of those dark comedies. Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig play twins, Maggie and Milo. And it touches on suicide, depression, and kind of siblings coming together. They haven't spoken in 10 years. And something happens, and they come back into each other's lives. And what's his name?
Ty Burrell.
Ty Burrell.
Yeah.
Oh, Terrell Burrell. We almost had a new one, Scott.
I shouldn't have interrupted. Dang it. I should have let it go. Terrell Burrell.
Could have had a Terrell Burrell.
he plays a former teacher of Bill Hader's character.
Mm-hmm.
In a very kind of like, ooh, that's a different role than I've seen him in. Yeah, I liked it. It was good. I've been meaning to watch it for a while now, and I love that it's streaming both on Amazon and on Netflix. Both.
Yeah. And more. Ooh, I hear myself. More Bill Hader and more Kristen Wiig. I don't think that hurts anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. It's funny you brought that up right when I had it up on IMDb. I was looking at it right when you brought it up. So there you go. Excellent recommendals today. Everybody, write those down. Favorite those up. Get those on your list and watch the damn things. Nicole, do we know what next week is?
No, I'm kind of playing by ear now.
Let's play it by ear. I like that idea a lot. It's Nicole's...
Movies that take place on a dude ranch.
Perfect. I can't quit you, Brian. Nicole Spag on Twitter. Everybody, follow her there. And also Recommentals on Twitter. You can follow that for all the Recommentals we do. Nicole Spag, take it easy. Have a great week. And tell Mark his audio is weird.
Yeah.
Bye now. Oh, you're fine. No worries. Bye now.
Thanks, Nicole.
I picture her yelling at him right now.
Right. Mark!
Damn it! What the hell did you do?
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds like she's doing better.
Yeah.
No, ask, she sounds, but it sounds
yeah,
like
I meant
doing...
to ask too, and yeah. But I agree with you. She sounds like she's doing much better.
Yeah.
Let's play one of these. How about this right here? How about this?
With the computer, as with any tool, The concept and direction must come from the man.
Oh, we know that man. His name is Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom Merritt. Oh, can you hear us? Hello.
Concept and direction and microphone.
We hear him.
Hello.
Oh, there he is. Ah, yes.
Has Mark been at your house, too?
Spagnolo.
Hey, man, what's going on? How are you today? What's going on?
You know, I'm okay. Yeah. You know, just sitting here, you know, downstairs at my desk.
Yeah.
When you guys called, what do you need?
So I just need to borrow some amount of dog food. Can I borrow some?
Oh, yeah. Dog food? Lots of that.
Okay, good.
Not a problem.
We ran out. I love Wednesdays because it's not only time for Tom to come on and talk about the hot news of the day, but it's also the day I go on DTNS later. And I guess Anthony Carboni's our guest today, which will be
fantastic. Yes, he is. It'll be interesting to see what we can dig up to talk about with Mr. Carboni. Three scientists walk into a bar, star. Mm. As well as We Have Concerns, star. I mean, he's a star.
He's a star. He really is. A true star. A rock star. And also wore the single ugliest vest jacket I'd ever seen at Nerdtacular. It's just something I noticed.
Wow. Shots fired already.
Shots fired right over the bat.
Good show today, folks.
Yeah, it's going to be good. City boy got a little cold. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, what's going on today? What's happening in the world of tech?
You know, it's August, so the tech news, it doesn't go away, but it sort of simmers down a little bit. And the big news this week still is people talking about Alphabet and whether Google is insane or genius or an imitation Warren Buffett or not an imitation Warren Buffett. Mm. It's kind of all over the place. We've been talking about it for the last couple of days. It broke during Daily Tech News Show on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And of course, yesterday, Patrick Beja and I talked about it. I'm not sure that'll be our main topic today, Scott, but I figured maybe the TMS audience would want us to break down the ABC.
Well, I know that Brian, nicely done, by the way. Yep. I know that Brian wants to understand this better. We were just talking about it. So,
yeah.
I think I'm even a little behind the eight ball, but I'll give you my short thing and you tell me how wrong I am. All right.
All right. Great.
So what it appears,
you're so wrong.
What it appears to be happening to me. And it was the biggest surprise to me was how unknowing everyone was. Like, it seemed like it was a very well-kept secret. They were about to make a major shift. And nobody seemed to hear about it beforehand. It didn't get leaked. There didn't seem to be a lot of people who knew. So that surprised me. But this seems like them, on the positive side, trying to stem off the idea that big companies as big as them and as they continue to grow can become have a lot of tunnel vision and not see beyond their own success and have a hard time adapting to changing markets in the same ways that, say, you know, companies like we were talking about them earlier, companies like Blockbuster or companies like Microsoft where they've had some of their dips and they're trying to make course corrections now and missing the boat on mobile and things like that. They don't want to be the company that in 10 years, just because they have gotten so big, they couldn't see the forest for the trees. And this is their way of saying, all right, we split all this up. We have one big giant holding company. We have a lot of subsidiaries, Google being one of them. They're all run separately with their own management, their own CEOs, and this way, their own areas of focus. So Google's not, you know, trying to make a car at the same time they're trying to improve their search engine, as just an example. And those things may not be spinning off. I don't know. Do I have it right? Is that the goal? Is that the plan?
It's pretty close, actually. It's more about showing, and you're not far off in this, it's about showing that Google is profitable because one of the things that with investor relations, Larry and Sergey have had a bit of a trouble with is convincing them that all this money they spend on X Labs, on self-driving cars and balloons with internet, isn't slowing down the main business and isn't going to cause Google's profits to tank. So by separating Google into a wholly owned subsidiary and saying all of search, Android, everything that is involved with Google's main business is now Google. That's run by Sundar Pichai, gives him a chance to promote him, make him happy. That's all good. Now we can report that separately and you can see just how profitable that business is without our research bets weighing down on that. And then it gives us the independence internally, because externally they're going to report everything else as one number, but internally they can look at Nest and go, okay, Tony Fadell, how is this consumer products business booming? How is glass? How are thermostats? How are all of your devices? And not have people in the investment community especially saying, well, hold on, how does a Nest thermostat help your search business? Mm-hmm. Because they can say, it doesn't. Mm. They're not meant to. They're two different
situations. They're separate. Yeah.
So their diversification is in large part responsible for this decision, obviously, because these things are all, I mean, you couldn't get more diverse than a self-driving car or a house full of, self-automation. I mean, yes, things are all sort of connected by the internet in a lot of ways, but that's really their only commonality. They're very different businesses and very different focuses. So it the whole thing makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
And I don't see it as crazy. I think the name's a little goofy, but that's something we'll get used to. I also thought Google was a goofy name when someone in 1998 pointed it out to me.
Yeah,
and said, you should use this search engine. I said, what the hell's that name? And then
why would I want to switch from Alta Vista?
Right.
Right. A much more rational name because it's Latin. Yeah, I remember I've forgotten how uncomfortable I was saying the word Google. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like when iPad first came out. We've kind of forgotten how goofy that name sounded. Mm-hmm. We just get used to them over time. So, Ibbot, does this answer your questions? Do
it
you
does.
Still? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it simplifies it. It basically, it's less complicated than I was going to assume it was, or than I was assuming it was going to be. Right. I mean, it's basically, yeah, we're still Google for this. We're, you know, we're Nest. We're all these to the, on the outside, we're still Google, but kind of internally we're Alphabet.
Yeah. It doesn't really affect anybody in a consumer
right
level. Although I think, yeah. Is it strange, Tom, to you? And I know you guys have talked about this some, but I think it's interesting that they appear to be keeping Android and YouTube under the Google banner.
Which my wife works for. Disclosed.
There you go. Good job. Phew. But yeah, but that's interesting, right? Like not to spin those off because those felt very spin-offable to me.
Right, well, they're Android, big enough, yeah.
Android makes sense to me because really Android's biggest bet is we'll get you to use search more. Let's be honest. Search is a substitute noun for advertising.
Yeah.
It's just that search is where they make most of their advertising. Google is DoubleClick. Google bought DoubleClick in the early 2000s, and that's what makes all the money for them.
Yeah.
And Android is another way to generate advertising revenue that way. So that makes sense to me. Android tied into Google. I've seen different arguments for YouTube. Some say, well, YouTube is about generating advertising revenue, so that makes sense. But then why is Susan Wojcicki, CEO of YouTube, under Sundar Pichai, CEO of Google? And a lot of other people suspect that possibly YouTube, they aren't ready to spin YouTube out as a separate subsidiary, but they might do that at some point.
Yeah, there's so much of it is integrated into search/ads anyway. So when I go search for anything, so much of what I get now on Google, Google's homepage when I search is a bunch of, video results at the very top with thumbnails.
Yeah.
Very much encourage me to do things. So seeing that stuff all tied into Google organically over the years makes sense to me that they're not ready to spin that off necessarily because it just
although
feels
don't
like
forget,
they're...
video exists outside of YouTube. So really, it's almost a conflict to have YouTube internally because they have definitely prioritized YouTube results in that video search. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, there's no question. And maybe even just rightly so. Like by the numbers, the results are more accurate from YouTube, but it's still, that's a weird problem to have, isn't it?
Hmm. Yeah.
When you're the company bringing the results, your goal in theory is to give the most relevant possible results. They just happen to be from a video service that you own.
Yeah.
Like you're always under this pressure to like, well, I guess we could put a Vimeo in front of this
we'll stick
or something
that above it. Yeah, just so we don't look like we're.
Yeah.
Do you think that with this, we're probably going to see more Google acquisitions of other companies because they won't be as concerned with them tainting the Google brand or not tainting, but affecting the
Google
brand?
Sure, like Alphabet buying somebody else and saying, here's a new spinoff without having to worry about it as much?
It's a good question. I don't know that we'll see more. Google has not shied away from buying companies.
Right, that's true.
But it certainly makes it easier for them, right?
Yeah,
Motorola was, I suspect, probably helped inform their thinking about making Alphabet. When they owned Motorola as a wholly owned subsidiary, I bet they started looking at that and saying, this is really complicated in our current setup, but it would be a whole lot easier if we had a holding company that was holding, you know, owning several subsidiaries. I bet that if it didn't spark the conversation, certainly informed the conversation. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if they were to buy a Motorola in the future, there'd be fewer of these, well, how's that going to affect Google conversations? Because you can say, well, it's an Alphabet company.
Right. It's not Google.
And it's a separate company from Google. Yeah, they're owned by the same one. And so there's a little bit of concern there, but it's not nearly as much as if Google owns Motorola and Google is also the search engine.
Sure.
So yeah, it gives them some flexibility. It gives a lot of people are saying, we'll see what the real plan here is the first time they shut one of these subsidiaries down or spin it out as a separate company. Mm. There's a great article on technologyreview.com today saying this is not a conglomerate. A lot of people have been comparing this to General Electric or maybe Berkshire Hathaway, saying, oh, Google just wants to become, you know, a conglomerate. And this article argues that that's not true because technology companies are riskier bets. You don't make a conglomerate out of technology companies very successfully. That's why Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett's company have stayed away from technology companies. Yeah. So this is more of a chance to have a startup feel amongst these subsidiaries and make what is called in Silicon Valley alpha bets, a bet on an alpha product, and see if it pays off.
Yeah, and give them the agility to do that and, again, stay ahead of markets, which seems to fly in the face of what I was talking about before, which happens to a lot of companies where, you know, somebody as big as at one time Blockbuster had no idea what was coming, and being able to see those changes and make adjustments. Now, here's my conspiracy voice. I'm just going to say this. You can, okay, the Alphabet, right? We all know what that is. There's two meanings there. Alpha, mm-hmm. You're making a bet on an alpha company. Got it. That's cool. Also, Alphabet, it's all the letters in the alphabet.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Did you know you can spell Skynet with the alphabet? You can spell Cylon with the alphabet?
Listen, brother.
You can spell all the conspiratorial, like, robots taking over the world words with the alphabet. Think
you
about
can
that.
Spell so many words with alphabet. You're blowing my mind, Scott Johnson.
Brian, Tom, it turns out you can spell all the words with the alphabet.
So really what you're saying is Google just bought language.
Yeah, they bought it all and we didn't even see it coming. No one had any idea. I'm telling you. Down
every word we speak, TM Google.
You can't spell the new Fantastic Four movie with alphabet because there's a number 4 right in the middle
That's
of it.
That's right. But they don't want that.
Loophole. But they will all speak in numbers.
That's right.
Like computers, which they own.
Oh, no. Ah, oh, we're all no. dead. We're all dead. Well, that was
it. Yeah. We had some people saying, wait a minute. How could they get away with the, you know, trademarking the word alphabet? That's a common word. And, of course, BMW actually runs a subsidiary called Alphabet.
Yeah.
There are more than 100 companies in the U.S. that use the word alphabet in their name. You can trademark a name as long as it is not likely to cause confusion with someone else of that name. So you can't trademark the word alphabet and say nobody gets to use the word alphabet. Mm. But you could trademark the word alphabet and say no other holding company in the computer industry gets to call it something.
Right. So you can Campbell's, you're safe. Your soup is safe. Yeah. It's fine.
Alphabets.
Alphabets.
No problem. Not infringing.
That sounds really good right now. No, it doesn't. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure, always fun, always good. Later today, 2:30 Mountain Time, we'll have a chance to hang out at DTNS, Daily Tech News Show. Each and every Wednesday, I get to go on there, and it's on all week, and you guys should be checking it out. Is there anything else you would like to mention today?
Yeah, you know, I want to thank folks who have stopped by Amazon and reviewed Citadel 32, the book that I wrote about people stuck on the moon after an apocalypse and people down on the ground trying to rebuild society and figure out if there's still people on the moon. And thank everybody who came out to Nerdtacular with copies of this. I was overwhelmed by the number of folks who actually had a copy they wanted us to sign. Yeah. And it was great. Yeah. Real apologies to the one guy who I accidentally signed in the wrong place.
You ruined my copy of Citadel 32.
I know. I should send him a free copy. But yeah, it's really cool to meet people who actually like it.
Yeah.
So it encourages me.
That was nice to see all those show up and, you know, all the mentioning we did on the show of, hey, if you have a copy, bring it and sign it. And I was thinking, yeah, we'll get one or two people or something. But yeah. No, there was many more and they were all super nice and that was really cool. So, yes. Great. Check out that book. One of my favorite things I've ever drawn for a cover for any sort of book, mm-hmm. and really enjoyed it. I guess that's it. Tom Merritt, Ace Detect on Twitter, TomMerrittBooks.com, all over the place, doing all kinds of things. I'll see you later today, sir.
Absolutely. See you guys.
Bye now.
See you, Tom.
All right. That's it with Tom. That's
it.
I
keep trying to adjust my Skype video window so that it's closer up to my camera so that when I'm talking to Tom, I can actually look up at Tom. Because usually I've got it down here, and so I'm looking down here.
Yeah. I see your kitty.
Yeah.
Katie's sleeping.
She's sleeping.
I'm trying to get my thing up today.
Good luck with that.
Let me rephrase that. I'm going to hang up my TMS round thing like you got. I'm going to put it here.
I'm amazed the cat is not chewing on that lower left letter B since it sticks out there. But like I said, I'm modeling the next StreamSac 3D print business after this TMS sign because love the way it's done.
Did an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
What's their names again? Crap. I keep wanting to give them credit and I forget their
names. Yes, it was, dang it.
Where you had that out. You had it out earlier or last week.
Ice Storm.
Damn it. I did it again. I can't stop. Clearly, I have a problem.
Yes, I had it in the notes last week and I don't have it in front of me right now.
Well, we'll try to find it, but I just can't give them enough credit. So cool. We got emails to do today.
My Etsy
do that. Is it in there, Etsy? Oh, because they have an Etsy.
They have an Etsy, but I don't have it in my... I thought it would still be in my Etsy history because I haven't looked at Etsy for anything else, but I can't find it.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll find it. We'll track it down. Today's emails are brought to you by...
By Coverville, where on today's show, we celebrate the 60th birthday of one of the angry young men of rock. Well, he's an angry old man right now.
Yeah.
Joe Jackson, who... He has ventured into every single different style of music you can think of, right? From classical to pop to new wave to big band to blues to jazz. I mean, he basically can't make up his damn mind. So covers of and by Joe Jackson today. And if there's time, one of the Righteous Brothers is having a birthday, and so we'll celebrate with that as well.
All right. I like Joe Jackson. I remember he had a song in the 80s called... wasn't baseball. What was it called? Maybe it was baseball.
I don't know about a baseball one. Maybe you're thinking of Reggie Jackson.
No. I might be. you know what? I'm thinking of Joe Jackson, Michael Jackson's dad.
No. No, think of the Joe Jackson that does Stepping Out.
What's another
I'm
one?
The Man.
Yeah.
Is She Really Going Out With Him?
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. That sounds like a decent time today. Yeah. let's get to emails. We got one from John in Torrance, California, who says, "Hey, Will and Grace, longtime listener, recent retiree who now watches daily on the YouTube and not listening live anymore. Any technology out there that we can use for us YouTube users to see what you guys are talking about on your computer screens, videos, pictures, etc.? Yes, that technology is called hire a full-time producer who does video switching for Brian and I in real time."
Right.
That person doesn't exist. So
no.
Not yet.
They'd
anyway.
Also be able to look stuff up for us. I mean, this, you know.
Yeah.
Boy.
One day when Hangouts gets their crap together and then and the audio quality doesn't take such a hit, I'm happy to go back and try that again.
Sure.
It's just the audio quality from that, which is then recorded for the podcast version, is kind of garbage.
It suffers, yeah. It suffers a big time.
And I hate that. Because right now you sound like you're in the room with me and I want that to forever stay.
Right.
So
I'm standing behind you, Scott.
Oh, I feel your hot breath on my neck. Linky McScott throw it in, says, "Hey, Scott, Brian, and Daryl." So this is for Daryl as well.
Okay.
"After Tuesday's question, I had to email in my wife and mine's first date." That's not how you'd say that, is it?
Me and my wife's first date.
Me and my wife's first date is what it should be. My wife and mine's first date was me showing her Breakfast Club, which she had never seen. We also happened to be huge Futurama fans and enjoyed the episode in particular with the Futurama reference to Breakfast Club. When we got married, we realized we had no choice but to play, quote, "Don't You Forget About Me," unquote, song at the end, as the last song of our wedding. We couldn't make Nerdtacular, but I was there in spirit, Linky McScott's. Nice. That's awesome. That's a great song.
That is
song.
Awesome.
"Don't You Forget About Me."
Such a great song.
It really is. One of the best ever.
Yeah.
Like
interesting,
if you,
interesting for a wedding though, but hey, who am I to judge? We played, we had Queen, we had Split Ends. So, how can I complain about somebody having Simple Minds at their wedding?
The song I first danced to my wife to was Journey's "Faithfully."
Oh, nice!
And it works on
because you were about to go on the road and there was no place to start a family.
Exactly. Like, it's so dumb if you really listen to the lyrics of songs we all use. For quote unquote our songs, they're always dumb. It always makes no sense.
I always loved doing the weddings where their first dance was "Every Breath You Take."
Yeah.
Oh, I love "Every Breath You Take," and then you listen to the lyrics, and it's this is a song about stalking people. Mm-hmm. This is probably not should not be your first dance.
Yeah, don't have that your first dance.
Right. But it's such a romantic title. Like, every breath you take, I'll be there.
Yeah. I like the ones that rhyme, like every rake or every leaf you rake or every cake you bake.
That's right. Yes.
Final email from Tanya wrote in.
All right, Tanya.
Hello, Tanya. Says, hey, friends. My favorite crappy 80s movie titles / anything with Michael Douglas in it are these. Indecent Proposal, Basic Instinct, Fatal Attraction, Dress to Kill, A Perfect Murder.
Right.
Love the show, though. Tanya.
Any of those, like, you could put on one of those little, a pair of spinning wheels, that, yep, you know, like spinning wheels next to each other, yep, and come up with Fatal Proposal.
Yep, you could totally mix them.
Basic Murder.
Basic Murder is pretty good.
Indecent Instinct.
Dress to Instinct. Doesn't quite work as well.
Right.
Indecent to Kill.
There you go. Something like that.
Thanks, Tanya. Good email. And if you would like to send in your own email, you can. themorningstream@gmail.com. You can also leave us voicemails, 801-471-0462. We play those on the regular and might play yours if you send one in. 801-471-0462. And again, the email address is themorningstream@gmail.com. A quick mention that Todd Whitehead over there at Alpha Geek Radio, many of you are listening to the show live right now, still running that Gindiegogo. I meant
Gindiegogo.
You know, Gindiegogo, the hot new service. They've added some new perks, T-shirts. Joel Duggan offered up one of his V1 crossover collections.
Wow.
I'm telling you, man, there's more stuff added all the time. Go search for Alpha Geek Radio over there, or Alpha Geek Media over there at Indiegogo.com, and support Todd in his effort to expand his technologies and stuff that help us as producers make rad stuff for you to listen to. So do that.
Cool.
I guess that's it. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. Show is at Morning Stream. And our Reddit, newly resurrected and functioning subreddit, is frogpants.reddit.com. So there you go.
Cool. That's an easy one to remember.
Yeah. And there are people using it. Looks like there's a bunch of new stuff. An AMA request for me. I would happy to. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I would totally do an AMA. I'm ready.
Oh, yeah.
So cool. We're going to be there more, using that more, just making it more part of what we do generally. And TMS is a great place to sort of start that. We'll also make it less plain. Right now, it's just an ugly thing without a header and all that. But I'll give somebody admin rights and we'll have some fun.
You know who you need to get involved with that is Josh Mayu.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is Joe Reddit.
Is he Joe Reddit? I didn't know that.
He's Joe Reddit. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. All right. Well, on with that then. Everyone get out there. Frogpants.reddit.com. That's it. Let's get out of here. Do you have music? Let's go.
I do.
Great.
How about a song that's going out to Ashley? Well, sort of. It's from Ashley. Says, I'd like to request a song for my little sister, Becca, for her birthday on the 12th. The 11th works, too, because we listen to the show together the day after. Well, you're getting it on the 12th. I love you, and thanks for forgiving me for that time as kids that I got mad at you and thought a paper towel full of pepper to the face would settle the score.
Oh.
Signed, Ashley.
Damn.
Youch. Yeah, okay.
That's
hardcore,
dude.
That is. I don't want to fight with Becca or with Ashley. Yeah. So initially she requested a Metallica song. However, her favorite band of all time is a small band called Super Bob. And she asked if I could play a cover of Sexy and I Know It by Super Bob, to which I said, sure, of course.
Yeah.
You'll find this on YouTube. Just do a search for Super Bob, Sexy and as I Know It, Sexy and I Know It. And this is great. It is... everything I just mentioned, a cover of the LMFAO song. Here is Super Bob.
All right. We will see you guys tomorrow. Wendy, Therapy Thursday's back, and big full show. Hopefully Justin will be here for news. So
hopefully.
Come on back now. You hear? This is what I see. Everybody.
off. And when I'm at the beach, I'm in a speedo trying to tame a cheat. This how I roll, come on ladies, it's time to go. We're headed to the bar, baby, don't be nervous. No shoes, no shirt, and I still get service. Good look at that body. Good look at that body. Good look at that body. This is what I see. Everybody stops and they're staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it. I'm sexy and I know it. I'm sexy and I know it.
Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't want to excite the lady, though.
Whoa.
Nice.